Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Who just finished up a brilliant run on Westwood with the Frozen Four after the women's Frozen Four, and now he's got Penn State baseball, and then next week he gets to carry two old guys by working the sidelines. Welcome, sir.
I don't think that's quite how it plays out. Maybe carry your bag, but not carry the two old guys. I mean, I do know that you were able to recollect very quickly there on William Howard Taft's first pitch because you were at that game. That's a topic for another day.
In fact, I was the little kid that walked up to him and said, "Do you think you want to go to the Supreme Court?" Oh, my goodness. In fact, I think he was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. All right. So let's very quickly on hockey. Denver's playing Minnesota State, and I felt like Minnesota State's carrying the play. What the heck changed where, boom, four goals in a short period of time for Denver? I mean, I know Denver's a great team, but suddenly they turned everything around.
Yeah, so I think the goal that ultimately was the one-timer that gave Denver the lead, that came after a power play. So they scored the first goal, and all of a sudden you could feel the momentum of the game changing.
That power play was just ending. It ended, right?
Yeah, that guy who came out of the box did not get back into the zone
right.
yet. So in many ways it was still a 5-on-4. But I think Minnesota State was playing its game where they were smothering them. But Denver has such, I think ultimately, even though Minnesota State had guys that could really score, Nathan Smith, their top line, Ryan Sandlin on their second line, Denver had the higher end talent. And eventually, once the momentum started to swing and their top end guys started to get a little more time and space, and then Minnesota State having to come from behind started to take a few more chances, and that gave Denver more time and space in the offensive zone, ultimately, they are able to swing the game in their favor. I think momentum is a real thing. And Minnesota State, once they had the 1-0 lead, they're playing to win a 1-0 game. But one goes in on a rebound from a sharp shot from a bad angle. Then all of a sudden, you get that power play and you score after that. And in the snap of a finger, instead of it being 1-0 in your favor, now you're down 2-1. And for as experienced and as old of a team as they were, I just don't think they had enough to get back in it. And then the way Denver was playing in goal the entire tournament with Magnus Crona made it that much tougher, too. I thought he was the best player of the Frozen Four.
Okay, so now Penn State baseball to this point. They lost the game to West Virginia earlier this week, 8-4. Mm-hmm. But I get the impression that this is a better product of Penn State baseball than the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think it really has been. Yeah, that's a really good observation. I think especially over the last month, I think they went through some growing pains early in the year where they're still trying to find their game, and just the experience of being on the field together and getting up to game speed. Every game for the last 4 weeks has been competitive. And I think most of those games could go either way. So I think that speaks to how the team has grown. Even the game against West Virginia on Tuesday night, Penn State goes down early, gives up a 6-run top of the third, comes right back, though, a couple of 2-run home runs, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a 4-run game, and the bullpen settled it down, and they got some opportunities to try to make it even closer, and it just felt like there were one or two plays that swung that game, as opposed to maybe earlier in the year when they were thrown, they weren't crisp defensively. They didn't have the bat top to bottom of the lineup to overcome that. It feels like everyone knows their role and their identity now, and that includes the pitching staff. This is not a team that's going to send a guy out there. You know, when Penn State was at Maryland 2 weeks ago, their guys are going 7-8 innings from their starters. Penn State, if they get 4 or 5 innings out of their starter with the depth they have in the bullpen with a Stephen Miller, a Tyler Shingledecker, Mason Mellott, Travis Lunsman's move to a back end of the bullpen role, I feel like there's a lot more consistency. They understand their role, and so they play in the team baseball, and they really have started to put together some really good performances, and they've been in every game. And I still think, Steve, too, that they've played the most difficult part of their schedule, although I guess that probably remains to be seen because it's still so young in the conference.
Well, it's interesting because Heath Bell was on yesterday, and he was talking about when he was in the bullpen, especially with San Diego. Everybody knew what their job was, what their role was. What has it taken for Rob Cooper to have them understand what their role is and really, and then to be the all-star in that role?
Yeah, I think that's a great point and obviously a great observation from a guy who pitched for a really long time. And I think that goes beyond just the pitchers on the team, too. You know, Derek Cease and Ben Kaler have started to play some second base, and they're never going to hit for the most part at the top of the lineup. But your job then is to work walks, work the pitcher, and turn the lineup over if you're hitting in the 7, 8, 9 spot in the lineup, and play really good defense and just be yourself out there. And I think that's what everyone has started to learn and embrace. Jaden Headline knows as the starting pitcher, and he's going to go tonight for Penn State, that, look, I'm the guy getting the ball in game one of the series, typically a Friday this week, a Thursday because of Easter this weekend.
Sure.
His responsibility isn't to go out and throw a complete game no-hitter. His responsibility is to give the team 5 strong innings, save some of the bullpen, and give them an opportunity to win. And then there's so much internal competition, too, in that bullpen. I think that's helped. But it's just a great observation where everyone knows their role and then just has to be themselves in that role. And this is a team where I think the collection of parts then can make some of all those different parts really a good thing. But yeah, it helps to have a guy like Matt Wood kind of as the anchor to it, who's playing, I think, some of the best baseball that I've seen from any player in the decade plus doing this.
All right. I know in broadcasting the spikes, I talk about the dynamics of the ballpark being different in the summer because it's warm. I mean, the ball travels more. Now they are older players too, which I think makes a difference in all of this. But I think the weather plays a role. How different, because look, there have not been a lot of warm days to this point. How different does this park play? And not only that, how different is the game played because it is cold?
Yeah, it's a really good observation. Obviously, you know that from being around that ballpark quite a bit. I actually think for the beginning of the year, and the one advantage, love it or hate it, that the college kids have is they're still using the aluminum bats.
Yeah.
So the ball will carry. I actually think to right, the bleachers in right are very much in play early in the season. And just to the left of the big fence. But to drive anything into the alleys early in the year and out to center field is darn near impossible. So really, it's a ballpark. When you play at Northwestern, when you play at Maryland, if you get one or two guys on, you feel like one swing of the bat can change the game instantly. Here, I think you have to string quality at-bats together. You have to get guys on base. You have to draw walks. Use the gaps. Use the lines. Run the bases really well. It's not a ballpark. Look, they've had some guys run into balls this year, but it's generally not a ballpark where one or two swings can get you right back in the game. It really counts on one to string things together offensively, run the bases, put some pressure on the opponent, speed up the game for the pitcher and the battery. And I think Penn State's done a really good job of that. And then despite the dimensions, you know, the other night, Cole Bartles puts one over the fence and left. Josh Spiegel went opposite field for a home run. They have some guys that can hit. Hit the ball out, but it's tough in that ballpark this time of year. There's no question. But it's funny. Once you get to graduation weekend, it completely changes. All of a sudden, the ball flies.
No question. Although one time I was doing it, you know, you talk about graduation weekend. I was doing a game on, I did a 3-game series on BTN a few years ago, and the third game was on Mother's Day. Okay. So second weekend, right?
Yep.
I'm standing out there with Scott Pose, the former Marlins outfielder, right? And it's snowing in the And when we're taping the open at 10 a.m., like it's snowing. I'm like, well, what are we doing here? It's snowing.
It's crazy. I was just looking back with Purdue coming to town this weekend. I was just looking back. I could not remember when the last time Penn State and Purdue had actually played a complete series over the span of 3 days and played, you know, one game Friday, one game Saturday, one game Sunday. The last time, and this is games here and there, the last time was 2013. Rob Cooper's been here 9 years.
Yeah.
He's never coached a series against Purdue where they've actually played the full schedule as planned Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. On Purdue's team, is Kiernan Higgins on that team? Pitching staff?
Let's see here.
Higgins?
Let me just dig into this. He is not.
Okay.
Now, they do have Jackson Smelt, which is interesting for this weekend. Jackson Smelt usually goes to the first game, but Penn State and Purdue both had doubleheaders last Saturday and then played Sunday. So it's really a quick turnaround with the Thursday game this week. So they're going to bump their game one guy back to tomorrow. And he is 5-0 this year with 64 strikeouts, which is second in the Big Ten. Just threw 121 pitches last Saturday. So he's actually going to go on Friday this week, and that's game two this week. Penn State's going to stick with Jaden Henlein, who's been their number one here the last few weeks tonight. So that's an interesting little matchup going into the series. So Purdue, you'll have their best guys going actually game two and three as opposed to one and two.
Yeah, the reason I asked about Higgins is because he pitched for the Spikes last year.
Yep.
And he's coming back this year. I thought he was going to do some work at Purdue. Football. How anxious are you just to get on the sideline and watch this team play? And also, I mean, Roger got a hold of me and he says, you know, you have a list of people who are going to be there at the game. I have no idea who's going to be at the game on the sideline. What the heck? I don't know. But, you know, how anxious are you just to get out and see a little bit of football out there?
Oh, I think it's going to be great because we haven't had this experience the last couple of years.
How about three years?
Crazy, isn't it? And I look, the weather right now is 62 and sunny, the scheduled forecast for next Saturday. Not that I'm looking just for personal benefit, but also to see what kind of crowd that's going to be there.
That I agree with you about the crowd part, Brian, because if the weather is nice and you're talking about 63, 64, I mean, and it looks like a chance at a good day, right? I'm going to be interested to see how many people show up. I mean, like, is it going to be like, hey, look, I'm just anxious to get out. I want to get going. I want to see Penn State football. Now, I'll pay the parking fee, I'll get in, and then go from there. I think that's a big story about this, as to how many people show. Do they get 60 or 70,000?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I also think a lot of people, look, there's a lot of excitement around this team with some of the new faces. I know you've had a chance to see him at practice the last couple of weeks. But just to get your first look at Bo Pribula and Drew Aller and Nick Singleton and what these guys can bring to the field. And I'm not sure, because what James talked about with the offensive line, how they're going to format this blue-white game yet. I think that's still in discussion. Yeah. But you know what? Just to see them out there playing and see the guys up close and personal and get a live look at practice that they're having or the scrimmage, whatever it may be, you know, I'm really excited. I think this is a team that has something to prove this year. I know you know it from watching the team. I think if you look offensively and defensively, starting 11, plus some of the depth they have, guys pushing and competing for spots, I think it's a really good roster, a really good roster going into the fall. So just to get that first taste of it here in the spring is exciting.
Well, I hope it's 64 and pleasant, because I'm trying to remember the last time you were on the sideline. Oh, that couldn't have been fun.
That was 6.4 inches of snow, I believe.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. Let's go down to the sideline. I can't see the box. I can't see you and Jack.
And you guys couldn't see the penalties.
No. No, we could. It's like, you know what was interesting is that the only time I had to really sit there and count, and I'm talking about 5-yard increments, was on punts. Everything else I knew where the ball was. You know, even though the ball's thrown downfield, everywhere else, only on punts because of the distance of a 40, 45, you know, like a 45, 2, 3, okay, 43.
Well, Molly McGrath is doing that game for ABC, and we were fighting over space in front of the heater on the sideline during halftime. It wasn't so much that it was cold, it's that I didn't bring boots because I didn't expect that much snow. And then just to warm my shoes up, but also not put them close enough to get Harbaugh incident by the heater on the sideline either.
Don't need that. All right, Brian, thanks. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. Always great to talk to you.